The title of my project for my doctorate of ministry is Expect the Unexpected. The paper describes my experiences over 10 years of ministry and how much of what happens in parish ministry is not what at all is expected. One priest I worked with told me that he expected to spend his days quietly reading in his study. The picture he had of ministry was one of peace and solitude, not crisis and conflict. Having grown up in two generations of clergy, I knew that peace and solitude was rare at best. No childhood vacation went uninterrupted by a death or a crisis that required us all to go home immediately. I went into ministry fairly well informed. Still, ministry is filled with the unexpected. And I think when we look at our lives, we will find that life itself is dotted with the unexpected. And when we look at Scripture, our family story, our family history, we find that more often than not, God acts in the unexpected. Perhaps the unexpected is God's way of getting our attention, of reminding us that God is still involved in our world, still here with us, still working his plan of salvation out. Jesus has recently been at odds with the temple leaders. He has overturned tables where the money is exchanged and thrown out all the vendors. He has commented on the wrongdoing and the bad treatment of a woman who has given her all in support of their ministry. He is not trying to make peace and smooth everything over with those in power. He continues to throw barbs and make accusations. No wonder they want to get rid of him. They want him gone, and gone he will be, but not yet. The disciples have been with him throughout this time. They've heard his condemnations of the way business is being done in the temple. They've heard his accusations of mismanagement and wrongdoing by the leaders, those who are to bring the people to God, not keep them away. But the disciples are in awe of the temple, and rightfully. The structure was magnificent. It was bigger than anything else around. The walls were made of stones that weighed up to 50 tons. The length in the interior was as long as 24 football fields. 250,000 people could fit in there at one time. And if that was not awe-inspiring enough, the interior was covered in gold. Breathtaking. Amazing. Indestructible. Jesus, now physically positioned in opposition to the temple on the Mount of Olives, says, "You see that? You see that wonderful, breathtaking, amazing feat of human engineering? It will be totally destroyed. Not one stone will be left standing." And the disciples don't question how that will happen. They immediately want to know when. And if Jesus told them, do you think they would have believed him? I somehow doubt that they would have. The temple, something this magnificent, can never be destroyed. The temple was God's house. It was built to the glory of God. No one could destroy something that was built to the glory of God. God wouldn't let that happen. Someone might be able to destroy a temple built to worship Isis or Zeus or any of those other false gods, but our temple, not our temple, God won't let that happen. Okay, if this is going to happen like you say, Jesus, you need to tell us when. We want insider information. How is this going down? For almost 2 weeks, there were predictions about the location where Hurricane Katrina would make landfall. As the storm moved closer to the coast, the meteorologists had a fairly good idea of Katrina's path. It was headed straight for New Orleans, and it was going to be really bad. For over a week, Predictions were made about the severity of Superstorm Sandy. Store shelves were emptied. People knew this would be bad. Folks were told to evacuate in both of these instances, and many did. But there are always some who don't. Some folks don't have the resources to leave, but others stay because they refuse to believe that they are truly in harm's way. They can't imagine that anything would destroy their homes or take their lives. Some come out alive, and some don't. Those who survive have hair-raising stories. These sorts of events lead some to predict that the end times are here. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. According to the Mayan calendar, we have a little over a month until life as we know it ends. Over the centuries, there have always been those who are happy to tell us when the end will arrive. And so far, thankfully, they've been wrong. Jesus refuses to acquiesce to his disciples' request for insider information. Later in Mark, he says, "It is not for us to know when the end will come." He says, though, to them, "This day, do not be led astray. Don't be alarmed. The end is still to come." How would we live our lives differently if we knew that the Mayan calendar was correct, that on December 21st, 2012, the world as we know it would come to an end? You've probably been involved in this exercise at some point. How would you spend the day if you knew it was your last? The question hanging in the wings is, why are you not living that way now? What's holding you back? And on some levels, it's really not a very good question. Well, I'm not quitting my job because I need to support my family. I'm not traveling around the world to visit all the places I've never seen because it would bankrupt me and my loved ones. And if this is not the last month of my life, I need to be a good steward of my resources. If I only have a day or a month to live, I might behave in some ways that seem foolish. If I have another 20 or so years. Jesus' advice to the unknowing is good, naturally. He says, "Do not be led astray, and do not be alarmed when the unexpected happens." The unexpected can take many forms. Sometimes the unexpected is good, like with Hannah, who was given the gift of a child that she had yearned for many years. Sometimes the unexpected is bad, like the tornadoes of April 27, 2010. One morning last week, Tom and I were in the midst of our morning routine when we both noticed the smell of smoke, something we thought was burning. Neither of us had been upstairs yet, so nothing had been cooked or left unattended. What do I need to grab? I thought. Where's the puppy? Tom later shared with me that he had intended to grab a painting that we both love. Nothing came of that brief smell of smoke, at least not to this point, but who knows? People don't usually expect their houses to burn down. Having that experience was an opportunity to think about what is important. We should continue to expect the unexpected because that's how life is. And that's how God is. God shows up in the most unexpected events. God shows up in the most unexpected places with the most unexpected people. Even in the midst of pain and devastation and hurt, God is there, not causing the pain, devastation, or hurt, as some would mislead us to believe, but right there, giving us what we need to move forward. Without the unexpected, life would be bland and predictable. We might run the risk of thinking that we're in control. The unexpected events and experiences in our lives are the explanation points in our lives that get our attention. They wake us up and jolt us out of the mundane and cause us to evaluate what is truly important. God is that exclamation point. Do not be led astray. Do not be alarmed. God is with us even to the end of the age, and God will also usher us to new life. That promise has been made. Amen.